For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Yankees win.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Swung on, hit a ton, deep left, green, back, track, wall, gone! David Fry!
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Mike Hill. Earlier on the show, MLB senior writer for The Athletic, Jason Stark. Coming up, co-host of Gojo and Golic, Mike Golic Jr. NFL writer for The Athletic, Mike Jones. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Mike Hill.
Hour number 2 of the Rich Eisen Show. Mike Hill hanging in. Rich Eisen on the show. Happy to be here on this fun Friday. I think TJ's a little upset at me.
Fired up.
For what?
Fired up.
He's like, he called me a hater.
I mean, you were there hating.
I was a little hate, a little bit. That's the great thing about sports, though. Like, if you're a fan, you're going to hate on the other team a little bit,
right?
Saying,
you ain't got no dog in that fight, so why are you hating?
Because the Cowboys are the dog in that fight that I hate. I can't stand the Cowboys. I like, because you guys are like, you know what you are?
You're like
Laker fans. You're like arrogant. It's like sometimes you want to.
Hold on. Is that the story we're still
arrogant?
Like,
yes.
Or is it Mike? Everyone in the media who runs Cowboy stories on A Block, every single sports show that make other fan bases hate the Cowboys, even though we have nothing to do with that.
Here's the thing: the Cowboys, Lakers, Yankees, teams like that. Right. No matter what, winning or losing. The media is still going to get behind the bandwagon because they have fans. I get that. I understand that. It's the fans, though, from the Lakers and the Cowboys that sometimes are disillusioned.
Okay. Can I ask you something?
Yes.
You know me.
Yeah, I know you.
How disillusioned am I with the Cowboys?
But you're fine. But you got 12 teams that I know. I mean, I understand.
No, you do. See, that's what I'm saying. That's why you and I will never be like this, man.
Okay.
You're trying to front on me.
Okay, I'm not trying to front, man. I'm not trying to front, bro. Yeah, but y'all think y'all going to win it every year? Like, okay, win. This win. Stop, man.
This is y'all stuff. I ain't never said we were going to win this.
No, well, really. A lot of your fans, you know. All right, let's talk college football, man. Y'all do Fox College Football over there on Saturdays, man. I love doing it, man. I had the honor of having an AP vote this year, also a Heisman vote, man. So it's been a lot of fun covering these teams. A great season once again in college football. Alabama lost last week to Vanderbilt. I'm an Alabama fan there, so it still hurts me to see if they bounce back. But a huge weekend for college football, headlined by the Big Ten game, Oregon and Ohio State. So let's talk about that and much, much more. Let's bring in the co-hosts of Gojo and Golic, Mike Golic Jr., hanging out with us here on the show, on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Mike.
Good to see you, Mike. I feel awkward coming into this conversation as the Notre Dame fan. We're sort of the Cowboys of college football, where we're better than most of the teams, but we haven't gotten to that title, aka that Super Bowl, in a while. So we get a lot of that same hate for Cowboys fans. So I sort of feel where he's coming from.
Thank you, Mike. Here's the thing: you get hate because you get a lot of media exposure, even when you're not winning. I'm talking about, but people. Fans don't hate the Notre Dame Fighting Irish because the fans of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish aren't disillusioned. You're not saying, oh, we're going to win the championship this year. You're realistic. It's almost like being a Yankee fan sometimes. Like, hey, we got to be realistic about our team. Cowboys fans could be terrible one year. This is the year. We're going to win it all this year. Laker fans could be terrible. This is the year. We're going to win it all this year. Forget everybody else. You guys will suck. You know, that's the problem that I have with the fans of those teams. So, once again.
Yes, Mike. Yankees fans are known for being real. Realistic and you know,
okay. Let's get back to business, Mike Golic Jr. College football, huge weekend. Hey, Ohio State may not be number one in the country, man, but they've been looking like the number one team. Now, they haven't played that team yet. I know they just knocked off Iowa and they dominated, but they are winning by almost an average of 40 points a game. They got a dominant defense. They got weapons on offense. What do you expect them to do when they have to go into Austin Stadium? Always a tough place to play against Oregon this weekend.
Yeah, and I think that's a great place to start. It's going to be a phenomenal atmosphere. I've been fortunate to call a couple games up there, and it really is a crowd that can affect what goes on the field. You heard one of Ohio State's offensive linemen saying he doesn't like primetime games because he sees all the eyes on them there. Well, you're going to have the eyes, you're going to have the crowd, and you're going to have Jordan Burch and that defense bearing down and trying to cause problems. But I think, Mike, for me, the reason that I'm so heartened by what I've seen from Ohio State has nothing to do with Emeka Egbuka, Jeremiah Smith, Will Howard in this offense, or even Jack Sawyer and the guys on defense that have been phenomenal. It's the offensive line for Ohio State this year. It was the biggest question I had about them coming into this season. And so far, watching their production, blocking for Travion Henderson and Quinjon Judkins, that are two of the best in the country, they've been able to reestablish a line of scrimmage with Chip Kelly now coming over as the architect for that run game here as the offensive coordinator this year. I think that's been the difference for them so far this season. And it's the reason I went from before the season picking Oregon to win the Big Ten. I now going into this game and picking Ohio State to win because I think that group is that much improved.
Yeah, I mean, once again, and defensively, offensively looking good. Jeremiah Smith, man, that freshman is phenomenal, bro. What do you like about his game overall?
Yeah, I just think, and you see right there, that catch in the Iowa game was kind of emblematic of a receiver who's so strong despite his age going up there, and you see basketball-like ability to go and use his body and shield on catches. He's obviously got the explosive play potential, and I think when you look at him and Ryan Williams at Alabama, the thing that's so cool and encouraging about these young guys is no moment has looked too big for them so far. They've been able to go out there and shoulder the load in a lot of cases as the top option or close to it on each of their teams. And so to go along with that composure, the dynamic ability that both of those guys have, sky's really the limit. We're watching two, future top 15 draft picks right now as 17 and 18 year olds.
All right. So Oregon, also a huge game for them as well. I mean, they started off the season, especially against teams like Boise State, barely beaten Boise State. Boise State's a good team this year. They probably got the Heisman Trophy leader right now in Ashton Jensen, right? But over the last couple of weeks, they have looked better, but still turn the football over in critical moments. I know Dylan Gabriel's been outstanding when it comes to accuracy this year, but how critical is this game for Oregon? Like you did mention before this season, you picked Oregon to actually beat Ohio State going in. What has changed your mind, and what will a win do for Oregon if they are able to knock off Ohio State on Saturday?
It would be massive for Oregon coming in year one in a new conference and being able to go and punch the biggest bully on the yard in the mouth. We know Ohio State and Michigan have been the teams that have been at the forefront of this conference, trailed by Penn State for most of recent history. And so it would go a long way. And I think for me, you mentioned those early shots in the beginning of the season, right? Close game against Idaho, close game against Boise State, big explosives given up on defense, which we're now seeing might just happen for everyone who plays against Ashton Jeanty. They made some big changes on their offensive line going back to the Oregon State game, a rivalry game that got played in September for the first time in the history of that series. And since then, they went from giving up, I believe, 7 sacks in the first 2 games to none since that shift against Oregon State. And so that group up front is going to have its best punch ready for the Ohio State defensive front. I think it's just going to be, can they push the ball downfield at all? Some of the weapons in this offense, it's been low and slow. They eat up a ton of yards the same way they did last year with Bo Nix, but there hasn't been that over-the-top capability that offense last year, which averaged almost 10 points per game better than the offense this year. That's going to be the real key. Can Oregon find some explosive playmaking against an Ohio State defense that certainly got guys at every level that can do it?
And that's going to be a huge game. Absolutely. The toughest test for Ohio State so far this season going in Austin. If they do that, of course, they could be the new number one team this week in the AP polls coming out. Let's stay in the Big Ten for a second because Penn State also has Ohio State coming up on the schedule. I believe that's November 12th when they play one another. Penn State can't beat Ohio State. They can't beat Michigan over the last couple of years. That's the only two teams they have not been able to knock off. But they got USC on the road this weekend. Is this Penn State team any different than any of the teams that we've seen over the last couple of years? They should make the playoffs this year because it's expanded to 12 teams. But once again, the importance of winning on the road at USC, knowing that you got Ohio State coming up a little bit later on in the schedule.
Yeah, I believe that this Penn State team has the case of being better. I think Drew Aller's looked more confident at quarterback this year. Andy Kotelnicki, the offensive coordinator they brought over from Kansas, has been allowed to do some of the same creative things on offense that we saw in Lawrence. And so you've seen some of the wonky formations, certainly plenty of window dressing before the snap, but it's created more explosive opportunities down the field early. They're still not a dynamic top-end passing offense yet, but they haven't had to be. And I don't think this weekend they're going to have to be either. USC still giving it up on the ground. We saw against Minnesota, they gave up almost 190 yards. Against Michigan, almost 300 yards with no threat of the pass to go along with it. And so I think Nick Singleton, Catron Allen, that's going to be enough in the backfield to get it done for them in this game. But I do think this is an opportunity in a big time stage against a new conference opponent. You got to flex a little bit of that muscle in the passing game, because people like me are still going to hold out the jury until I see them against Ohio State and what that looks like against the upper crust of the Big Ten that they just haven't been able to crack lately.
Yeah, Drew Aller's looked much better this season throwing the football downfield. Like you said, Kotelnicki has got the team throwing the football down the field this year. But once again, Drew Aller's looked good against all other teams outside of the big games against the Michigans and the Ohio State. See what he does against USC and that defense coming up. But Penn State on defense, once again, you can't do what you did against Illinois, where you had a huge lead and then almost lose it as well. So that's one of the things that they got to look out for as well. I want to talk to you about Colorado. I know everybody still talks about the Colorado. I know they're not a ranked team. They got a huge game against Kansas State coming up this weekend at home. Colorado starting to put it together. Coach Prime, the guys, they've won three in a row. I got a lot of flack, Mike, and I probably deserved it, but I looked at, as I have an AP vote, I picked Colorado the first 2 weeks, and I picked them number 25 in AP voting. It was based on what I expected the team to be this year, and I expect the team to be much better than the team that finished the season losing eight of the last nine games last year. Didn't quite work out that way. They got blown out by Nebraska, but they've looked so much better since then. From what you've seen out of this Colorado team, how is this team different from last year, and do you give them any inkling of a chance against Kansas State at home this weekend?
Yeah, I do. I think the team is much improved defensively from a personnel standpoint and just their overall execution on that side of the football. I think, you know, we talk about Travis Hunter because he's a two-way star and a Heisman candidate, and we're so obsessed with Shador on the offense. I think we've kind of neglected to tell the story that, hey, statistically, they're not world beaters on defense. But man, compared to what we watched last year on that side of the football for Colorado, that's an outfit that has its stuff together finally, and it showed. Now, it's going to get a steep test going up this weekend against Kansas State. Kansas State top 10 in rush yards per game going up against a team that's bottom half of college football in Colorado on defense. But on the other side, Kansas State's back end hasn't been tested by a passing attack like Colorado's got. So it's really what flavor of ice cream. It's almost, you know, Mike, I think of it like an NBA game where it's twos versus threes in this one. And so it's going to be incumbent on, hey, can this Kansas State passing offense muster anything to keep pace with Colorado on offense? Because Shador Sanders is another guy who's looked great this year. His work in the pocket and the poise that he's had behind an offensive line that has done a slightly better job of protecting him, but he still has to go out there and earn so much of what they're going to do offensively, along with Travis, who's managed to stay healthy and be effective both ways. So, yeah, I do think that team deserves a lot of credit for how they've improved, and I'm fascinated to see what this game is like because these teams couldn't be more opposite.
Now, talking to Mike Golick Jr., co-host of Gojo and Golick, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hey, this is a quarterback world in college football, just like it is in any world when it comes to football. You know, Carson Beck's doing his thing, obviously Jalen Milroe, all the Heisman candidate trophies. Dylan Gabriel's also one of those guys going to be in the mix. Quinn Ewers before he got hurt, and now even Arch Manning down in Texas doing his thing. But how great is it that you got two of the top Heisman contenders right now? One is a running back and one is a two-way player. If you had to give between Hunter right now, who's doing an outstanding job for Colorado, and Ashton Jeancey, who's at Boise State, who's wonderful, leading the league and leading the nation in rushing right now, could break Barry Sanders' all-time record if he continues at this pace. If you were to give a little bit of a handicap right now, which one of those two would you say has the best chance of winning it all and having that Heisman at the end of the season?
Yeah, and like you, I'm fortunate to be a Heisman voter, so this is something I'm keeping a really close eye on, and I think right now you would have to give the edge to Ashton Jeancey for what he's been able to do, and I think the opportunity he has going forward for Colorado as they get into the meat Big 12 schedule. It's going to be interesting. In a wide-open Big 12 this year, can they capture some momentum and actually vie for that conference in a way that would have them in all these conversations, and provided Travis is healthy and can keep up with this insane workload that he's on, he would have plenty of great chances. But I look at what Ashton Dente's already done. And you know this, covering college football, it's hard for the group of five teams and players to break through in this way. And Ashton Dente was able to do it early in the season, putting up some video game numbers, using the game against that Oregon team as kind of a springboard to where now we're all conditioned. Hey, all those shows you watch, you guys mentioned, Big Noon, when you see it on SportsCenter, they're running Ashton Dente highlights all the time when he busts these games, even when it is Utah State like it was last week. Mm-hmm. And so now that he's in the machine, they're going to have an opportunity against a UNLV team that's still firmly in the mix in the Mountain West and for that group of five playoff spot. And I think that just in general, you have the game against Oregon State at the end of the season, another Power Four group, but also you've got that group of five playoff spot up for grabs. So we're going to be talking about Boise State for that. And we're going to be talking about Ashton Dente and seeing those plays in the zeitgeist with everything that gets discussed around the sport. I think it's hugely important. And I think he's got plenty of chances and he's just that good. You can't tackle the guy. He's faster than you'd expect. He erases angles. And I think all that makes him the perfect group of five Heisman Trophy candidate who actually has a great shot of getting to New York and maybe even lifting the trophy.
I've heard of comparisons to Maurice Jones-Drew, to LaDainian Tomlinson. The guy had 178 rushing yards in the first half against Utah State, didn't even play in the second half. He's just been that good and still on pace to break Barry Sanders' record. Before I let you get out of here, man, the SEC has always been a dominant conference throughout the years. No matter how much hate they get, they just continue to win championships. Alabama getting knocked off by Vanderbilt this year. The SEC is definitely up for grabs. Georgia's already got a loss. Ole Miss got a loss. Missouri's got a loss. Right now, who would you say is the favorite in the SEC?
I think it is this Texas team, and that's why I'm fascinated for them. You know, looking at Oklahoma and the Red River game this weekend, Oklahoma's going to be starting a freshman quarterback for the first time in the history of this rivalry. It's the first time Texas has been number one in the Red River game since 1984. I believe they're going to win. Oklahoma and Brent Venables are really good defense, but they're going to have to carry the day. A whole new offensive line this year for Oklahoma. Their top wide receiver in Burks is out this weekend. So all these things working against them in this game. But for Texas, it's really for me about, hey, how healthy does Quinn Ewers look coming off a break the schedule afforded him to make? Because when he's out there, Arch Manning did a great job. And I know Steve Sarkisian says there's no change in how he calls the offense, and I believe him. But I think Quinn Ewers and the benefit of his experience, you saw on tape and you saw on the field through those first few games of the season, the way he manipulated the pocket, the way he spread the ball to involve all of those new weapons that came over this year for Texas. I think he affords them an advantage and makes them the best team in the conference when he's on the field right now. And so this weekend is going to be a huge measuring stick for that, because you're right. Georgia's got offensive line issues right now. Alabama's got to figure out what it's got going on defense. Ole Miss, same sort of deal for them when they get in a dogfight against a team that's physical up front on defense. Can they go and withstand that? A lot of the top end, Nico and Tennessee Vols got a gut check from that Arkansas defense last week. And so all of those questions here have created the perfect opportunity for Texas to come in year one. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but pun fully intended, grab the bull by the horns.
Wow. Hey, the horns, they got to step up, man. The SEC, I mean, especially against the Sooners, they've lost four of the last five games against Oklahoma, including having the only regular season loss last year against Oklahoma. So we'll see. Is there, before I let you go, is there a chance, any chance, Sarkisian, if Ewers comes back? Of course, he's a great quarterback, don't get me wrong, but if he comes back and he struggles at all, is there a chance that we see Arch Manning at all in that game?
I think there's always a chance, but I think that move would be much more predicated on health than it is play. Okay. If Quinn's going out there and struggling just because he's getting back into the flow of a game, which keep in mind, last year when we saw him in Red River, he was coming off injury and still performed really well in that game. But I think if there was any Arch Manning sighting in this game, it would only be because you had seen Quinn Ewers going out there and still dealing with some of the lingering effects of an injury that they want to try and really stamp out for the home stretch of this season.
All right, it should be a good game. Great weekend. College football. Every week is a great weekend of college football. That's why we love it. We didn't expect last week to be the week it was, with five of the top 11 teams going down and four against unranked teams. Man, that was incredible. I'm still hurting as an Alabama fan against Vanderbilt, but I think they'll bounce back against South Carolina this weekend as well. Mike Golden Jr., man, a pleasure talking to you, my brother, man. Always good seeing you, man. Keep up the great work.
Great seeing you, Mike. Appreciate you having me.
All right, Mike Golden Jr. hanging out with us here on the Rich Eisen Show, of course, co-host of Gojo and Golic with us as well. Man, hey, college football, I love it. I know how you guys are into college football as much as, like, I know you.
I've been dialed this year, man.
Huh?
Dialed.
Who's your team in college
Syracuse,
football?
Syracuse, baby.
Oh, ooh, look at you.
We're back.
Look at you taking somebody else's trash and making it treasure. Oh, okay, I like that. All right, let's see what happens there. Syracuse looking good. I don't know. Yeah, ACC is wide open.
ACC
could happen.
Wide open.
Could happen.
Never know.
Could happen. We'll see what happens there. I know what's coming up next. Boss is going to call in, man, all the way from England. Rich Eisen over in England, man, where he's going to be calling the Bears and Jaguars game. He's going to check in with us in just a second right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at AmericanExpress.com/AmexBusiness. Let's talk LinkedIn people and small business owning. I'm a small business owner. Yeah, I might host the Rich Eisen Show, but I run it too. Rich Eisen Productions is a small business. And when you're hiring for small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why you've got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. It's not just a job board, this LinkedIn. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. That's why you got to use them. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. That's LinkedIn.com/Eisen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Let's talk about game time tickets, people. We've been talking about it actually for months here on The Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about Game Time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats, so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Happy to be back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Mike Hill, filling in for the iconic, the legend, Rich Eisen. And I'm not just saying that because I'm about to bring him on. Because he is. Rich Eisen, of course, over in England.
Nice,
come on, man. This is my guy, man. I look up to you, man. It's a pleasure. Thank you for allowing me to sit here at the desk. I say that in all sincerity. I really do.
Well, Mike, it's a pleasure to have you there and be here. And you should know, behind your back, everybody says nice things about you.
Oh, good.
And not everybody who sits in that chair for me can I say that about. So, you know. Not to stir anything up,
wow.
But you're good.
That's awesome, man. Y'all like me, TJ. Bro, y'all like me. This was good.
I'm
glad they're not
nice
talking to my ex-wives. Rich, you got dual citizenship in England these days, man. It's like, I mean, you're over there so much, man. Like, I've never been to Europe. Like, wow. Before we get started in the NFL, I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
When I come to England, because I want to go to London, I want to go to England. What's a must do?
Look both ways before you set a foot in the street, because you have no idea where they actually do put it down on the ground. Which way you should look? Look right. Look left.
Wow.
I'm just blowing past that. It's silly. I'm taking my life in my own hands every single time I put on a pair of shoes these days. But 8 days in, it's great. I have put on some pounds. I had 3 pints last night.
I saw that picture you posted.
Yeah. Yeah, we went near to a nearby pub.
Look at you.
England was playing a friendly with Greece.
Oh.
And we were playing friendly with some pints. Not going to be honest.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Yeah. It's Friday. I mean, the weekend is here. That's great. It was weekend over there too, man. So you they're watching. Are they into football yet? Are they still into the other football?
100%. They obviously they're into the Premier League and international football, but there's no question there's more of an NFL fan base and knowledge base. And I've met people who are coming up to me asking me questions in a British accent about their fantasy leagues.
Ooh.
I mean, it's for real. This is and it's really a testament to the fan here, because again, every single major sporting event begins around 1 a.m. around here. Last night, I decided to just go for it and watch the first half of Thursday Night Football and the first 5 innings of Game 4 of the American League Divisional Series between the Royals and the Yankees, and just decided to plow straight through it just to see it. So it's very difficult to follow when the biggest events – you're tapping out of it midway through both at 3 a.m.
Right.
You know, like that's what I did last night.
All right. Well, the Niners won last night. Obviously, you know that.
Yes.
And of course, the Yankees win. The Yankees won. They're in the ALCS. So you know about the Niners, big win. Let's start there before we go to the Bears game. I know you're covering the Bears and the Jaguars, man. How critical was that after an 0-2 start in their division to get that win, to hold on to a lead once again? How big of a game do you think that was, in your opinion, to get that win on the road?
Oh, sure. I mean, anytime you can get a division win on the road, that is the good stuff. And it can kind of erase any of the questions that you have over the previous few weeks with a win like that, that then puts you into first place in the division. And again, that's something that I, you know, just to bring full circle all the conversations I've been having from London via Zoom with this show over the full week. The Jets are going to be in that same position as well on Monday night if they just hold serve at home against the Bills, get right there into first place at 3-3. And that's exactly what the Bills would like to avoid by going up in division at a 4-2 mark with a big division win on the road. Two of them already, as we know. Week 2, the Bills won in Miami, and that's what, you know, knocked Tua out for the foreseeable future. So the Niners, that's the good stuff. That is a huge win for them. They now go on a bye, and we'll see if Christian McCaffrey can come back and lead this team to more touchdowns, make things a little bit more easy on offense. Although I'm sure, Chris, this is an overreaction Monday situation here. You know, some folks are probably itching. If there's yet one more running back that a lot of people haven't heard of that has career nights in this offense, Christian McCaffrey's going to start being called a system running back. Is he not, Chris?
We're so good. I mean, what? Isaac Arendo had 99 yards last night and a – you know, he stopped short, should have had a touchdown. I mean, good for him. Mm-hmm. Did Kyle Juszczyk a solid by going sliding down at the one?
By going down,
It's a third guy. See, I know. He's had like 100 yards. Like, what are we doing?
Right. They got the leading rusher in the league on the team.
Let me tell you this, guys.
What you going to tell us, Rick?
Way back in the day. Papa Shanahan had a similar offense where folks thought Terrell Davis was a good system running back because Mike Anderson did it and Orlandis Gary did it and Clinton Portis did it.
So
is that made TD less special? Hall of Fame special?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. So I'm already caping for something that I think is going to be stupidly pointed out anyway in our business that McCaffrey's going to be a system running back.
Break down the knowledge for these youngsters here, man. You brought up the history of Mike Shanahan. That's knowledge, man, because I don't know if you heard early in the show, but I'm spitting that hot fire early in the show when I said the Niners, looking at their schedule, without Christian McCaffrey this year, they're not making the playoffs. They're not. I don't care all the weapons that they got now. This is why I truly believe, because he makes that big of a difference on the team. If you look at that schedule that's coming up, it's tough. I mean, the next sure win, maybe Miami, and that depends on if Tua is back or not in week 16.
Right. Well, the bye is, as you now that I can see here, is after weeks 7 and 8. So there's some pretty big games coming up for sure. I don't think McCaffrey's the difference between them making the playoffs or not, Mike. I would say what the difference is for him is it's a difference between winning the conference or not and being a Super Bowl team or not, or a Super Bowl winner or not. That's the difference here. And right now, clearly nobody else is running away with it. The Rams have been absolutely crushed by the injury bug and have had trouble finishing games, and they're now 1-4. We'll see what happens in Green Bay as Arizona tries to follow up a pretty nice win for them in division in San Francisco, trying to take out Green Bay. And, you know, Seattle, we saw last night, is a team that's going to, you know, be inconsistent. And this just in, 3-0, now 0-3. And they are now going to have to stare down the abyss of trying to figure some consistency out here. While the Niners have two incredibly stout opponents. And, you know, we'll see how it will look on the run game for them against Kansas City and Dallas before their bye week. I don't think they're going to miss the playoffs. I'll just say that McCaffrey's got to come back for them to be extra special in them.
Yeah, well, that's true. I did say that they could possibly get in by winning their division by default, in a sense.
Sure.
Like, Rich, you're a New Yorker, right? You're a Jets fan? You're a Jets guy?
I'm from born in Brooklyn, raised in Staten Island. Yes,
so,
sir.
That's me. Can we talk about the MESS mess? The Jets.
That's what you.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, because, look, the coach gets fired, Saleh gets fired, then Hackett gets his play-calling duties taken away from him. Just like the San Francisco 49ers, you did mention the Jets, with all their turmoil that's going on this season, they could be in first place with a win against the Buffalo Bills that's having their own issues. Are Jets fans relying too heavily and thinking that Aaron Rodgers is the savior? Because I look at Aaron Rodgers, and I look at him as, like, he's not obviously the quarterback he used to be. If the Jets were looking at Aaron Rodgers like the Denver Broncos used to look at Peyton Manning, a guy who used to be that great, maybe still good enough to lead a team to a Super Bowl, but not the savior, not great enough to carry and put a team on his shoulders, they'd be much better. Am I wrong there?
No, well, I mean, what the Jets need to find is a run game.
Yeah.
You know, they do have one of the best young ones in Breece Hall sitting there. And the kid, Braylon Allen, I mean, just standing next to him on the field before the game, you know, it was, I felt like a very wee man here in the UK. And, you know, like, so get those guys going. They improve the offensive line to protect Rodgers in his return from Achilles injury. One would suspect they should be able to provide enough movement for a really good run game. And if Todd Downing can find that run game and get Rodgers throwing 20 to 30 passes instead of 40 to 50 with a receiver unit that still just cannot, you know, with consistency, come up with the big plays or be where Rodgers is expecting them to be, or Rodgers airmailing where they were, as in one case against Minnesota, or having a 3-interception game. You cut down on that if you can actually run the ball. And I think that's what, you know, Todd Downing's job one is going to have to do. You know, obviously Derrick Henry's not walking through that door from his time in Tennessee.
Right.
But they do have some pretty good ones there, and that would help take the pressure off of Rodgers in this passing game, having to carry the weight of an offense when it is not ready to be, it's not fully baked. It's like it's not out of the oven yet.
Right.
So find the run game and see what you can do defensively and whatever magic Jeff Ulbrich may have. I don't know. We'll find out.
Rely on that defense. I mean, the guy's coming off Achilles injury. I mean, like, come on, man. It's like he's not the Aaron Rodgers of old. I know he's a four-time MVP, but he's not that guy. Looking forward to that game on Monday night. Browns-Eagles, also another critical game. Lions-Cowboys, yes. A big game. The game of the week could be in the DMV with the Ravens and the Commanders.
I love this game. Mike Hill, I love this game. Good Lord, do I love this game.
What do you love most about it?
I just love, you know, the Mid-Atlantic having a rivalry,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Potentially. And I know I'm saying a lot. I'm saying a mouthful. But I have. You can ask the guys across the way and to your right as well. You know, I have bought completely in on Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
I am all the way in on him being the real deal. And I just love what's happening there. It feels real. It's infectious. It's something that a fan base there has not had for a while. It's, you know, I mean, I'm going to go here on this front. TJ, I'm sure have you ever read The Lorax to any of your godchildren? Because I know Brockman's probably had it. Have you ever read The Lorax?
I haven't seen The Lorax in a while, though.
Okay, so, yeah, this is, you know, when everything has kind of gone completely a mess, and now the green shoots are showing up again, and the land is becoming vibrant. That's the way I'm looking at the Commanders. You know, the Wunsler is now gone from the ownership suite, and here comes the Lorax. I don't know who's the Lorax. Lorax does look like Andy Reid.
He but, does. You know, yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? But I don't know. Is Jaden Daniels the Lorax who just shows up and changes everything? He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I'm very much looking forward to seeing how this looks against the Ravens defense, where Kyle Hamilton will be ready to snipe. And Roquan Smith is a grown ass man who's ready to make sure that this kid, if he doesn't get down, will rue the day. And there's Lamar, hopefully continuing on with that run game with Derrick Henry. And we'll see if the Commanders defense can actually pack its big boy pants that I don't think a lot of people think they've been forced to, because Jaden Daniels has been playing from the lead quite a bit. So we'll find out. I'm with you, Mike Hill. This one is something that speaks to me. Brian Robinson Jr. also, right? With Austin Eckler, that run game is for real with Washington as well. I'm fired up for it.
Yeah, shout out to Dan Quinn. And you made a good point, man. The ownership, I mean, I think sometimes the culture makes a huge difference when it comes to a football team. And people aren't talking about the culture of the Commanders now because they are under new ownership. And that Dan Quinn helps a lot. Don't get me wrong, new head coach coming in there or whatnot. And then Jaden Daniels just been outstanding. The comparisons, and obviously people, this is what we do in our business sometimes. But I think sometimes we get a little lazy. Like the comparisons, yeah, he's a black quarterback. He's a running quarterback. He's got a good arm or whatever. Lamar and Jaden don't even like the comparisons. Are we a little lazy when it comes to the comparisons of just automatically saying, well, Jaden Daniels is the next Lamar Jackson, like the same thing we did with Lamar Jackson, he's the next Michael Vick?
Well, I don't know. I think, in all honesty, I've only compared Jaden Daniels to himself. He just seems really unique to me, you know? Like, he really, and that's all I heard in Detroit and leading up to the draft in Detroit, is that Jaden Daniels was the most pro-ready quarterback that's coming into the professional ranks this year, and he certainly has borne that out. You know, I mean, again, I can't wait to see what Caleb Williams looks like on Sunday, because just chatting with him yesterday, you could sense that he was beginning to feel it, being the leader of a professional football team and getting more confident in the Bears playbook, feeling more confident again about it. Run game has finally showed up, and that helps somebody. But, you know, of the stats that I saw about Caleb Williams leading into this game, this one jumped out at me, guys. Here it is. I wrote it down on my board. I'll read it to you here. He is the only quarterback of the common draft era since 1967, the only quarterback taken number one overall to have a winning record through 5 weeks.
What?
Of his rookie season.
Hold on.
Say
it again. Just run that down again.
Caleb Williams.
Oh, wow.
Is the only quarterback taken number one overall in the common draft era since 1967. Think of them all. Elway, Vinny, so on and so forth, right?
Cam Newton. Yep.
Only one to have a winning record after five games. There are 27 others who came before him that could not make that claim. And I saw that. I literally had to write it down and say it out loud.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, and again, and as I said yesterday, just one quick story that I left out, and that Caleb is growing in the role, right? And DJ Moore has been talking about, you know, he likes the bossy version of him where he's, you know, beginning to get a voice going. But he also wanted to make sure that he's accountable to his teammates. He told a story about how he texted Rome Odunze after – I believe it was the last game in which he missed him on a check where it was his fault that he didn't get the ball to Odunze, and he would just watched it back on film and hit him with a text to basically say, my bad. I followed up by saying, so you're watching film and that's what's happening? And he said, yeah, but it also fully admit he told him before the game, leading up to the game that week, that if I check to this play, I'm going to throw you the ball for a touchdown. So he's calling his shot with the check down. And then when he made the check down and missed Odunze, he had a bad read and took responsibility for it and ownership by texting Odunze, you know, especially my bad, because I told you if we did it, it would be a score. And the reason why it wasn't is because of me. And I thought that was a pretty interesting story to hear about Caleb Williams.
It's good to hear that type of story you mentioned with Caleb Williams, who has a lot of swagger, a lot of edge, a lot of confidence out there. See what he does this weekend, of course, in England against the number one pick as well, and Trevor Lawrence, who finally got off the snide and got a win himself. Jaden Daniels, big win. He could be the MVP of the league if he continues this. Is that an overreaction? Did I just see something here?
Well, what's more likely is coming up next. But, yeah, I think if they win this week, he's going to be a lot of MVP buzz. For
it's going to be great. I can't wait.
Okay,
I can't wait. What a great game.
Looking forward to it. Rich, of course, you can stick around. You can stick around as long as you want to. It's your
show. I am right here.
Okay, all right. So
I'll be right
What's
here.
What's more likely? Coming up next, Rich. Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happen. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Westwood One.
All right, back on the Rich Eisen Show. Mike Hill filling in for the great Rich Eisen. Yeah. We still got Rich Eisen with us, of course, over in England, getting ready for the Jaguars and the Bears game. Right, of course, sure. Chris Brockman, Jason Feller,
what up?
TJ hanging out. I wish y'all could hear on the radio side what they were talking about on the TV side, talking about turndown service and Rich working with animals around here.
Wait, so you're pro,
how do you feel, Mike?
Mike, you're pro turndown service?
Yeah, Mike.
I don't turn down nothing on the road. I'm just...
See, Mike Hill and I, we work in the if it's free, it's me business.
It's you betcha. Yep. Turned down none of my comments.
Oh, yes.
Mike, you're in the hotel. You're there for a couple days. You got your stuff situated. Yeah. Do you really want somebody coming in there?
Absolutely. I want it clean. Clean towels.
Mike Hill.
I mess up towels on purpose and throw them in the tub so I can get free towels. I do it on purpose. Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Let's go out and jack them up, then get the cart and where they're sitting out there.
Unfortunately, this is not a what's more likely topic, but roll the music. Look at you.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
Rich, what's up? Everybody good? Happy Friday.
I'm good. Let me get my collar straight for this.
Button it all the way up. Rich, you're going to see these quarterbacks in 2 short days. Who's more likely to throw for 300 yards for a second straight week and get a win? Trevor Lawrence, Caleb Williams.
Well, I'm not going to give you the win. Come on, man. I'm calling this game.
All right, so then just cross off the win part. I don't know.
Get my man fired. Who's throwing for 300 this week?
All right, hold on a second here. I'll go Caleb in that one.
Easy.
Just coming in, you know, the Bears defense has been playing a heck of a lot more consistently than
secondary's been good.
Than the Jaguars unit. So, you know, and again, the Bears have looked a heck of a lot more efficient. I'll go with Caleb as more likely to do it, but obviously Trevor could. And let's just hope both of them do it.
That'd be great.
For the sake of Jaguars, Bears, NFL Network, 9:30 a.m. Eastern. Kurt Warner and I in the booth. Steve Weich with Stacey Dales on the sideline.
Hey. Rich, all week Adam in the back has been complaining, oh, the game's at 6:30. That's so early.
He hates that.
Oh, my God.
What else is he doing? Like, what's he got to do?
Pretty pathetic.
What's he got to do?
All right, Rich.
Defend himself. That's not fair.
1-4 AFC North team. More likely to get a much-needed road win, Browns or Bengals?
Oh, my gosh. I'll go Bengals. I don't know what I mean.
Giants
did you hear?
Giants are playing good, man.
Mm. Dude, I understand that, but you know the Browns. I don't know if you've heard Kurt Warner's assessment of what he would do.
Yeah, he said bench, make quarterback change. Yeah,
yeah. He's watching the film of Deshaun Watson, and he does not know what Watson is seeing.
Yeah,
it's basic stuff that he's missing. And I really have very little confidence in the Browns' ability to turn it around, more so than the Bengals, who've got Joe Burrow playing out of his skull. I'll go Bengals right there. They're playing much better football than the Browns.
Much better football. Rich, this could be, we talked about it earlier, game of the week, could be quarterback matchup of the season. Who's more likely to reach the Super Bowl this year? Lamar Jackson or Jaden Daniels?
Jaden Daniels, let's go. Come on now. What do you say, Mikel?
Wow.
Mikel, are you with me?
No,
Mikel, are you with me?
Wow.
Are you with me, Mikel? Mikel, are you with me?
Hell to the Redskins.
So you thought I wasn't going to come and phone a friend here.
You came fire with that. No, I love you, Rich. I'm not with you with Jaden. Eventually, yes. But Lamar Jackson, so close last year. They're going to take that next step this year.
I thought I had you, but now you got to turn your back on me, huh? Now you got to turn your back.
If you tell me that anytime you're not here, I'm going to be your number one fill-in. I'm going with you.
No, it's your opinion. I get it. All right, Chris. What else you got?
Huge game in Dallas, TJ.
Yeah,
wide receiver one to go for a hundy and a touchdown. CD or Amon-Ra?
Oh, come on, man. Come on. It's Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Oh,
absolutely,
wow.
It's the sun god. Absolutely, it's the sun god. Come on now.
Jump ball.
I mean, the lines are going to be like Jalen Tolbert wants to beat us. Rico Dowdle wants to beat us. Great. Jake Ferguson wants to beat us. No problem. Come on now. That's what 88's going to have all around him, nonstop, at this point in time. So I'll go Amon-Ra. He's coming off a bye. The Lions are the Lions. They're really, they're coming with a chip on their shoulder. Man, this is a great game. Wow. Oh, my God. Wow. What a country to be in during witching hour. Holy crap.
Rich, before we get to the next one, Mike Tomlin talked today about the quarterback situation.
Soundbite.
I thought he had a good week. He's proven his health. Now it's just a matter of knocking the rust off.
So he's shown you enough to be active on Sunday?
Yeah, he's probably going to be active as a number two quarterback. I like what I've seen out here. But again, health and rust are two different things. I thought he had a good week displaying his health, his ability to protect himself. Now it's just the process of getting reacclimated.
Of course, talking about Russell Wilson, going to be the number two this weekend. All right, so what's more likely, Rich, that this is Justin Fields' last start as Steelers starting quarterback, or the Chargers and Raiders somehow get to 40 points? Chargers and Broncos. Chargers and Broncos.
I'll go the Chargers and Broncos combined for 40 more points. That's more likely. Then you drag me into your mosh pit with a hot take wrapped in a gambling question. What is happening right now?
I mean, that was pretty creative.
I refused. It was very impressive. That was pretty like creative. A turducken of hot. Creative. Okay, that was a hot one right there, made of turducken.
All right, Rich, 1 minute. Let's buster these last two.
Yes, sir.
More likely to be the higher total, Texan sacks of Drake May or runs tonight in the Dodgers-Padres game?
Oh, I'll go runs in Dodgers-Padres. Come on now. Come on now. I'll go runs. That one's going to be a lot of fun. What else? Mm-hmm. I'll go runs.
All right, last one, and this is for you guys since my team has long been out of it. Who's more likely to win the World Series, Yankees or Mets?
Come on, Rich. Don't be silly. The New York Yankees are definitely ready to roll. If it's TJ, it would be great to have a Subway Series. I think it would be awesome to have a Subway Series.
Chris, what did you expect him to say?
Well, I wanted to get you involved. I wanted you to crow for the Mets.
Rich Eisen is a pro. What are you talking about? He's a pro. He's an experienced. This is one of the greatest sportscasters ever.
Mike, you're already here. You ain't got to keep.
TJ, let the man talk.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
Baby S is giving me money-making moves in the
world.
Oh,
yeah.
So I'm going to have one kid who's like, I want to just live in a box and do like artistic dancing and paint. Ocean's going to be like, it doesn't matter if I'm broke, Mom. I'm passionate about it. And Baby S is going to be the one that says, passion doesn't pay bills, Ocean.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.